Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 274. That's right, I'm back. Got good news and bad news. It is the week of November 14th, 2019. I've been gone for a long time. Retired from after 27 years of police work in Virginia, and my life has really gone in lots of different directions since the last show. I don't even know where to start. The good news is I've got a new show, and the podcast is going to continue. The bad news is this episode is mainly going to be an encore presentation of episode 100, which is a race report of my first 50 miler. And I'll gonna insert that in here in just a few minutes. The reason I'm putting out a show now is because I wanted to get one out for the loyal listeners. I've heard from several people, and I'll mention them in the next show when I put together a regular episode. But I was motivated to do one tonight because a listener, Adam, is coming into town tomorrow for the Richmond Marathon, which is this Saturday. And I was really honored that he wanted to meet up. And so it kind of inspired me to produce a show and mention that. And where we're going to be meeting up would be too loud to do any kind of interview or any sound bites or anything. But it's really cool that he's coming into town. I was trying to get Ashland Bob and Ashland Tom to come out. Ashland Tom's going to be out of town, and I haven't heard back from Ashland Bob yet. So that's the bad news. The bad news is this is not going to be a completely fresh episode. The good news is that I want to make sure everybody knows that I am back, and I'm going to continue to be putting the podcast out. So hopefully I'll still have some listeners that will come back and listen and haven't completely forgot about the show. Another little tidbit and that I'm really excited about is I signed up for an ultra in the spring, a 50-miler. It's called Tap to Tap, 50-miler. It's on the Virginia Capitol Trail. It's mostly flat, and I'm really excited about this because once the Virginia Capitol Trail was finished, which is a recreational path from the city of Richmond to Williamsburg, Virginia, or to Jamestown, it's right around 51 miles, and I've run part of that before as part of the Colonial 200 Relay some years back with Team Incognito. I thought it'd be a great venue for an ultramarathon, and I knew somebody would put something together at some point. A couple of years went by. I guess I could have got off my ass and tried to organize and get some other people interested and try to be part of an organizing committee. But after I produced the railroad run for so many years here in Ashland, I really got burned out from that kind of activity of organizing a race. And I don't even know what it takes to put together an ultra. I know you got to start somewhere. I mean, there's plenty of people I could have asked, plenty of friends in the ultra community, if you will. But I didn't do anything. And then here it is. Somebody has set it up. So that is April 4th of 2020. I almost said 2020. I guess 2020. April 4th. The reason that race was attractive to me is because I'm in a job now where I don't need to take time off afterwards and recover because I'm not in a police job anymore. I'm working for a private company doing investigative work, and I'll talk more about that in future shows. Actually, my first job after I retired, I took 7 weeks off. First job after I retired was something that it would have worked out longer term, but it just sometimes things you get a better offer that came along, and that's what happened to me. And I don't have any vacation. You get the 2 weeks, but that's kind of that's already reserved for my 25th anniversary, which is next year. So, that's 25 years my being married next year. So that time is reserved for that. Plus, the race is close enough where I don't have to go out of town for any extended period of time, a day or to fly or anything like that. Everything's within driving distance, and my wife will help me with all that. So that's pretty exciting. I'll put that link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I think the website is still up. I'll have to check that. I got to make sure everything's still good with my credit card, paying my server fee to Podbean. So there'll be lots of more information coming in reference to that. I'm pretty excited. I needed a race to get me back out there. I got in a little bit of a slump where I was just doing these little 3-milers and trying to do 5 to 6 on the weekends and sometimes just skipping weekends altogether. But I'm back and just in time for cold weather running, which completely changes my whole perspective on being out there and getting miles in and enjoying the sport again. So here's episode 100. This is back from, June 2010, so over nine years ago. This was episode 100 called North Face 50 Mile. This is my race report from my first 50 miler, which I finished in about maybe, 12 hours, 45 minutes. It was in Northern Virginia, and my feet basically fell apart, and I was out of work for 2 weeks after this, and I think all this is in the race report. So I hope you enjoy that. There'll be no email at the end of the show. I'll save the email bag for the next show because I did hear from some loyal listeners that I promise I'll get back to you. A couple other things happened before I start the encore presentation of episode 100. We had to take our Macintosh in for major service, and I was out without a computer for a long time. And that's not really the excuse. It wasn't for months. And then I'm at a computer mostly all day now, and so it's hard to come home and really get on the computer. But I will have new episodes coming out because I'm very appreciative of all the loyal listeners. So enjoy the encore presentation of episode 100 of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And thanks for listening.
Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode number 100. It's a special report this week on my 50 miler for episode number 100. It's the week of June 11th, 2010, and I am recording this podcast in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. And the only problem is I'm kind of laid up after the race, so I'll get into that as I do the race report. I'd be loving to do this report out on the road, but got to take some time off here after getting hurt from the race. And but the cool thing about it is got a little bluegrass going on in the background on WHAN AM radio here in Ashland. They have a bluegrass show from 4 to 7 in the afternoons, and that's what I'm listening to here. Anyway, this is a kind of a long race report. The reason for that is that it's my hope that it's helpful to anyone who's considering doing a similar activity, or maybe just interested in reading about one person's perspective and experience during an organized 50-mile event. So the report's kind of long for those reasons, and because going through the report actually helps me examine some of the details and hopefully improve for any future endurance events that I do. So I ran this race on June 5th, 2010, just a couple days ago. It's the North Face Endurance Challenge. There's several of those in the country. I did the Mideast regional one that they billed it on the website as being in Washington, D.C., but we never went into Washington, D.C. except to get our packets. The whole race was in Commonwealth of Virginia, and I'll get into that as the race report goes on. This was my 14th marathon and 4th Ultra, which is part of those 14. I had a great experience. I really did. The whole experience was really enhanced by the presence of a lot of the active members of Team Incognito that showed up kind of unexpectedly. I didn't think that they were going to be there, and they showed up at one of the aid stations and then saw me at the finish. And I did finish, but I'll get into some of the hurdles along the way as I do the report. But I just want to say that I did get hurt. I had some real severe and extreme blistering to my feet, and this required a non-emergency visit to the emergency room once I got back into town. And I want to just kind of put out there that I didn't go into this race or this distance blindly. I've done several regular road marathons. I've done two trail 50Ks.
And I did a road 40 miler last year. The road 40 miler was mountainous, and so I didn't go into this blindly. And I knew what I was doing. I did get hurt. I'll heal, and I'm going to learn from that. It's not a permanent injury. It's just severe blistering that. Well, basically, I can't walk. I've got, you know, my feet are totally wrapped up in multiple layers of compression. I've already had to go see a podiatrist. I'll get in all that, but. I didn't go into it blindly. I knew what I was doing. I was prepared mentally and physically for my ability level. And when I say that, when I talk about my ability level, I'm a middle of the pack, ordinary nobody hack runner. I mean, that's who I am. I don't win anything. I don't even come. I don't even come close to winning anything. I mean, I don't race for that reason. I race for other reasons. It's really more of a recreational thing for me. It's not really a race. And I think that allows me to actually enjoy the experience more because I don't have, I'm not trying to beat anybody. But anyway, I was ready for my ability level, which is, middle of the pack. And that's my ability level. I knew what I was doing. I'd done a lot of long training runs, which you've heard in the podcast if you've been a veteran listener. I've been practicing my fueling and hydrating strategy. And I looked, and there's a book that I looked to for a lot of advice. It's called A Step Beyond, A Definitive Guide to Ultra Running, and it's edited by Don Allison, or Addison. I think I got his name wrong. It's got a series of articles in there. He wrote some of the stuff. He edits some of the things. It's got lots of good information in there. It has information about blistering and how to take care of your feet, but I'd never had foot problems before, and there wasn't really a whole lot of information in there about it. I mean, there was information to use, which I'm going to use the next time. But I also consumed information from every website I could find that had anything about running a first 50 miler. And since I'd also, since I'd already completed a few ultras, I think I was ready to attempt a 50 miler. I mean, I felt like I had earned my right to be at the starting line. Whether I'd be at the finish line was a mystery. That's the whole reason you do these long events, to see what you got. But I definitely had earned my right to be there. But everything I did to prepare for the race, I still got hurt. And but it's part of the sport, and I'm going to heal from that. If I had known that my feet were going to disintegrate in my shoes, obviously I would not have kept on running. I'm not a moron. I have done stupid things, but I'm not a moron. And if I had known that the result was going to be being laid up for 7 to 10 days out of work after doing a 50-mile ultra marathon, I would have stopped. What's the point? Or I would have put in for the time off. You know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't have, knocked in sick, which is what I'm doing now. I would have taken a 2-week vacation if I knew that I was going to tear my feet up. But I didn't know that was going to happen. So here I am. I never had blistering the way I did at the North Face, and I guess that's why I didn't think it was as bad as it was until I took my shoes off. And when I took my shoes off, oh boy, that was it definitely got a lot of attention around me. That was that was interesting. So anyway, I'll talk more about that here in a little bit. Let me get into the overall race report here. The winner of the 50-mile race, Matt Woods out of Falls Church, Virginia, he won in 6:28:18. Just remarkable. Second place finisher was Michael Wardian, and he was 7 minutes back. And Michael Wardian ran the Comrades Marathon the week before, and he was the first American that finished. Just remarkable. He's just incredible. I just saw him at one of the aid stations because there was a loop system race, which I'll talk about, and then passed him on one of the trails. There was an out and back near the beginning. Going very fast, just a whole different lifestyle, than a whole different running experience, whole different running level, ability level than me. I mean, we're like in separate universes when it comes to running. But the interesting thing about these ultras is that you line up at the starting line with elite talent. When there's only 200 runners, I mean, you're right there close to them. And I think that's pretty cool. Anyway, the race had 203 people that started. 38 didn't finish within the 13-hour cutoff, which that's almost 20%, which is pretty huge. And the weather was a main contributor to that. The weather was awful. High humidity, typical Virginia weather in the summer, even though I don't think it's technically summer yet. Miserable temperatures, no air moving around, just humidity, upper 80s, just awful. It was the worst running conditions you could imagine. Anyway, you know, everybody had the same race conditions. I came in fifth from last place, which was 160th overall, because only 165 people finished out of 203. And my finishing time was 12:48.02, which was just about 12 minutes inside the cutoff of 13 hours. I was 36th out of 42 in the men's 40 to 49 age group, and my overall average pace was a 15:23 mile. Now, I didn't ever run a 15:23 mile. I ran slower than that. I ran faster than that. That was just the overall average. But I finished, and I got inside the cutoff, which was 13 hours, and that was really just the main goal. And everything I'd read up to this point was that, when you first 50 mile, or just finish. Try to finish inside the cutoffs. Don't go for any other type of time. So that's what my plan was. The way the course was set up, it was a three-loop system that was used to maximize two of the four aid stations. And what it was with a loop, because of the looping system, I got to see the front runners a few times, including Michael Wardian. And it was fun. So a lot of the front runners were encouraging. If you spoke to them, they would speak. Talk back to you, and it was seemed to be kind of customary to when you pass someone on the trail to at least acknowledge them, because you're all out there doing the same thing. It's a different than a marathon where everybody just kind of is competing. This was everybody was in the same shitty situation. So I guess it was kind of a mutual respect to at least acknowledge each other. What we did is we went up Friday afternoon to Georgetown. Tom Grant and I went up to Sterling together in his car. And we followed our friend Rodney and his wife and their vehicle, because everybody had different plans for the next day. And we're all staying at the same hotel in Sterling, which is in Loudoun County, I believe, which is kind of, it's Northern Virginia, but west of, southwest of D.C., because it's not across the Potomac River, which separates D.C. and Maryland from Virginia. Anyway, we dropped the car at the hotel, made our way over to the North Face store in Georgetown for the packet pickup. And I hadn't been to Georgetown since college. And, man, everybody was just so young. Everybody was so good-looking. We walked around a little bit, but there are lots of panhandlers around there. And that got a little annoying. And it was really awfully hot for the afternoon and early evening. And we just didn't feel like walking around. I mean, it was really hot. So we decided to return to Sterling for dinner. And we found a little mom-and-pop Italian restaurant and had a nice plate of lasagna. Anyway, then Rodney got a pitcher of beer, so we sat around, drank a few beers, and just talked about the race. And we all made it back to the hotel by 8 o'clock, and kind of went our separate ways just to go our separate ways for the night and just relax, because we were going to be getting up so early. It was a 5 a.m. start the following morning, had 6 p.m. cutoff. They also had a 50K race that was starting at 7 a.m., and then a regular marathon distance was to start at 9 a.m. And since we were getting up so early, that meant getting up very, very early, very, very early. And the hotel was only about 50 minutes from the start, but, we tried to get there half hour early just to kind of get settled. And Tom and I decided to get up around 3:15 so we can meet down at the lobby by 4 and get some coffee, head out with some time to spare. Now, I did fall asleep early, and I was sleeping fine until a former running partner of mine sent me a text message about 10:15, and that woke me up. And even though the text message was really encouraging, the result of that was that I had a real hard time getting back to sleep, and tossed and turned about 2:45 in the morning, and then finally I just got out of the bed at 3, and I really had a serious come to Jesus moment at that point in time. The day had started, that was race day. I knew the sun wouldn't set until I gave my best effort at running 50 miles, and essentially the rest of my life was going to start after that day was over, because I knew I had never done anything as hard as I was getting set out to do. And I guess you could say that June 5th was definitely going to be a defining moment in my life, because the rest of my life would start after I tried the 50 miler, which I ended up finishing, which is just a wonderful thing for me. But just getting up and thinking about it so early and having to face that, you know, it was a good time of reflection before, you know, the confusion, people started getting together and the phone was ringing to see what time we were meeting and all that stuff. So anyway, we got down to the race with no problems. The parking, Porta Johns were no problem. The race only had about 200 people. It wasn't a big event at all. We took a few photos, but everybody's nervousness was pretty evident on everyone's face, and everything really seemed so surreal at that point. And more than ever before, if you've done these long events, or a marathon or a half marathon, and when you've done it for the first time, we've all felt this before when a race date seems so far away and your training program seemed to be so long, and then all of a sudden here you are at the starting line. It just seems strange that here you are, but I felt good. I wasn't intimidated by the thought of running all day long, perhaps for 12 hours or more. I wasn't intimidated by the distance, and my strategy was really simple. Run from aid station to aid station, let the distance take care of itself. I only had to clear a 1536 mile 50 times over to make the 13-hour cutoff. And I know that sounds really easy, but, you know, factor in the heat, factor in food and drinking and humidity, hydration, dehydration, and then problems in the shoes, and, you know, it starts to get a little more complicated. But everything I had read up to that point and the research I had done and the advice I'd tried to seek had told me to just focus on finishing the distance and not worry about any finishing time. You know, finish within the cutoffs and make sure you make the hard cutoffs so you don't get pulled from the race, because there were two hard cutoffs in this race. And not worry about your finishing time. So that's actually what I decided to do. I was really going to follow that advice. And I was going to do that by walking early and often and just stay ahead of the hard cutoffs and not worry about whether I was in last place or fifth from last or tenth from last or middle of the pack. Because there's always another 50-miler to practice what you learned from your first one. So I just wanted to be able to finish so I didn't get pulled from the race because I didn't make the cutoffs. Now, the race started on time, and off we went at 5 a.m., and a pack of runners that I was with went kind of slow. It was really neat to see all the headlamps close together in the darkness. That was really, really cool. It was real dark along the Potomac River, but once we got away from the floodlights at the start-finish area, it was dark. Headlamps were definitely a must, and I remember forcing myself not to think of the race as a 50-mile race, but rather as an aid-station-to-aid-station adventure. And I remember thinking there was no way that I'll fail if I just focus on getting to the next aid station. Even though the heat of the day was always present, I worked very hard to keep it from my thoughts. And there were people that succumbed to it that I saw over the course of the day. The course ran southeast along the Potomac River's floodplain to an area and started in an area called Algonquin Regional Park, which is in Loudoun County, Virginia. Made its way southeast to Great Falls National Park, which is in Fairfax, still along the Potomac River. And the initial part of the course was fairly flat for several miles, with just some creek crossings here and there. Nothing really noteworthy. There was, except for having to run up some muddy embankments after you cross the creek. But I got to tell you, the worst part of the initial part of the course was smelling the stinky ass spandex and other foul odors of some of the guys that were in front of me. I mean, I don't even know if some people even washed or washed their clothes. I mean, it just was so foul. And on some parts of the trail, it was so narrow, and there was this high vegetation real close to the trail, and the stench just kind of hung in the parts of the trail. And it was just absolutely disgusting. And I mean, I can understand stinking afterwards because that can't be helped. But to stink that bad so early in the morning is just a sign of a fundamental problem with someone's hygiene. It was gross, and I don't think vegetation smells like stinky spandex. I don't. So that really, I'm sorry that's a memory of mine from the race, but nevertheless, that's what it was. But the trail was all single track for the first 14.8 miles. It was real scenic. And Rodney and I had made a trip up earlier, which I'd put in an earlier podcast, checking out the course. And I'm glad we did, because I had some mental images that worked when I came to the Great Falls aid station area. And but there was a point where the trail ran along a hill as the sun was coming up, and it was just a real beautiful sight to see that. The sun was breaking over the hilltop, and I've just carried that image with me because it was cool to be running in the dark, running for the as the sun came up, and just seeing the images across the sky. And at one point, we were kind of down at the bottom of a hill, and you just saw the sun coming over top of the hill, and it was just a real nice sight to see. I was glad that I got to see that. Tom, Rodney, and I remained together until we got to the first pass to the Great Falls Aid Station. We're going to be making four passes through Great Falls, and I got to see part of my crew and one of my pacers there, John King and Ryan, part of Team Incognito. We had access to our gear bags. I loaded up with fluid again, had a granola bar, and there had been some previous aid stations earlier, and I had munched on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They had them cut in these little triangles, which was really cool, and I had bananas, and that's essentially what I had for breakfast. I had two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a banana all at one time, and just kept on running and never even felt the effects of that, except for, you know, getting the energy. So at this point at the Great Falls, there's going to be three 6.8-mile loops through that area, and but part of that 6.8-mile loop, you would go to another aid station called Difficult Run. So essentially, you'd be passing Great Falls four times, because the fourth time, you'd be on their way back towards Algonquin Regional Park. There was a chip mat at that section, which I'll talk about at the end of the report, what my split times were. They were slow, but the chip mat picked them all up, and I'll list those at the end of the report. But the single-track trail turned into kind of a primitive fire road at that point, with several climbs and descents through the eastern portion of Great Falls National Park, and I didn't see anyone running the hills except for the real thin and lanky front runners, because you could still see them because they would, because of the loop system. It wasn't just an oval loop. It was kind of an intertwining loop, so you would see the other runners as there were some out-and-back sections, or they course past you. And then there was one section that was just, you ran along a ledge, and only one runner could go through there at a time, so they had race organizers kind of directing runner traffic. It was kind of like a one-lane bridge. John jumped in with me at the second loop, which was at the 28.6-mile mark, and he had to register as a pacer, and it's kind of funny that pacer is kind of a little bit of a misnomer, because John was really more of a walking companion. He made a joke that we should be holding hands if we're going to be walking more than we ran, or something like that. It was pretty funny. I remember laughing out loud. But his job was to get me over the 30-mile mark and keep me inside the hard cutoff, which was at the 35.4-mile mark, where I was going to pick up Greg. And several times I asked John whether I'd finish on time, and he always knew my status. He maintained real positive encouragement. And John, I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not, but I'm really grateful for what you did, and I sure wish we had more time on the train together, and I'd like to thank you a lot for what you did. But we John and I ran and walked and caught up a bit on what was going on in each other's lives, and but he really helped me get through that last loop. I don't really remember a whole lot of the conversation. It was really hot. But I remember after I did the first loop that the thought of doing two more of those just gave me a real defeated feeling inside, because it was pretty hard. There was some pretty steep ascents and some pretty steep, you know, then you had to go down as well, and the rocks on the trail and all that. It was just, I just remember thinking, man, I got to do this two more times. But, you know, I had all day, and I knew I would eventually get there if I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. So, I finally finished that last loop, and that put me at the 35.4-mile mark, and that was about, I guess, an hour inside the hard cutoff. So I had a lot of good cushion, maybe a little bit more than that. And that's where I picked up Dr. Smitty. And Dr. Smitty's been a regular listener of the podcast, and matter of fact, we met each other last year, 2 years ago, and he came up to Ashland, did a couple races, and I've actually become friends. It's been cool. I've been down there to do a race down in his neck of the woods down in Chesapeake, and when I looked for a couple people to help me get through the race, Greg stepped up and said that he would love to do it. And so anyway, he stayed with me for the remainder of the race, which was 14.6 miles, and his job was to make sure I got inside the 13 hours so I could get a finisher's medal. And but at this point, my feet were in some pretty severe pain. Well, yeah, it was severe. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably around a 15 or 16. Unfortunately, I'd learned that Rodney had to drop out of the race. We'd gotten separated, and I'd suspected that he had when John and I didn't pass him on the third loop. We had stayed together. Tom had gone up ahead. We'd all gotten separated. We didn't have a deal to all run together or anything. We all have different abilities. You know, when John and I left the aid station, Rodney didn't, I didn't see him. He came out, but he just kind of slowed back, and I just told him I was going to walk for a bit, and I'd see him. And we never passed him, never saw him again, and I learned that he actually had the DNF, and I was really really sad to hear that, because I know how much he wanted to finish that race because we had done so much training together. I haven't had a real long conversation with him about it yet. I think he's still kind of working through it. But we saw him at the end, and he was very gracious. I could just tell, you know, it's the defeated feeling. I mean, we all face personal failure at some point in our life. But this isn't a huge life-changing event. You know, it's not going to make you successful or not with your family or at your job or anything. I mean, if you're doing it for recreation and health and fun. But, you know, these big, long events, some people place a lot of value on them. I know I do, and I think Rodney did too. So I think he's still kind of working on it. And he's a guy that ran a 3:37 marathon down at Shamrock last March. He ran a lot more intense double long runs than I did. But, you know, the heat got his calves, and he couldn't function, and he had to drop out. And I was really sad to hear that, but he'll be back, and I have a feeling we'll end up doing another 50-miler somewhere, so I'll have to see where that is. All right, so Greg and I made our way back northwest along the Potomac River exactly the same way that had come much earlier in the day. And saw Tom, and all three of us stayed together for a little while, and I kind of power walked and shuffled along, and actually my power walking was faster than my running, so I relied on that to get me inside the cutoff. And it was kind of funny because the power walking was such that Tom had to jog a little bit to keep up with me, and we kind of had a little laugh about that. And even Greg, who's several inches taller than me, said he was having a hard time keeping up with my fast walking stride. Now, there's no doubt that if we were running, that Greg and Tom would have no problem, but when it comes to walking, I apparently was able to crank it out a little bit quicker. Now, I had forgotten about all the hills and steep switchbacks that I experienced on the way out from Algonquin, and on some of those climbs, I was just totally out of breath and would kind of feel off balance at the top. And if you can imagine, if you've ever gone hiking, where you've kind of hiked a hill or a mountain or something, you get to the top of a steep, you know, maybe like 100 yards of kind of a steep area, and you get to the top, and you just kind of, sometimes you're a little bit wobbly because you're getting your bearings on the new terrain. And that's what was happening to me each time we would make one of these climbs. And every time that I thought that Greg and I had climbed the last hill, then there'd be another one. But finally we made our way to the back to the Potomac River's floodplain, and I knew at this point that it was all flat to the finish. And sometimes the stench of that nasty spandex was still lingering in the high vegetation along some of the more narrow parts of the trail. Now, there are two more aid stations before the finish, and I definitely spent some significant time at each one. I was at one. I sat down and sat and spent some time there. I don't know how long, but definitely was a while. And then, I got an ice pack from one of the EMS guys, and we passed one guy that was sitting down on a trail, and passersby were asking us if we had water, and EMS had already come out to this guy, and it was very confusing. I mean, the last two aid stations was a very confusing time. People were sitting around at the aid stations, but I gotta put it, Greg had already figured out the math and figured out that all we had to do was pretty much clear a 15-minute mile pace, roughly, to get in, to clear those last 4.4 miles to get inside 13 hours, and he told me it was going to be close, and he was telling me when we had to catch up a little bit, and if we were dropping off the pace that I wanted to finish. That was really the only goal, was to get inside 13 hours. It wasn't to do anything else, and Greg did a great job of that, and Greg, I appreciate it, man. That was a tough time, and after you saw my feet, I guess you realize now why I had a hard time, picking up the pace a little bit. But anyway, this the last couple miles of the race were just very confusing. That's really just the best word I can use. I think it was prior to the last aid station that you passed twice, goes a little out and back. I saw a guy sitting on a bridge. The course ran along a side of golf course that was part of this regional park as it came into the finish, and it looked like an old cart path bridge, something over this creek, and he was just sitting there and didn't really say much. He said he was okay when I asked him. He looked like he was just kind of playing with some rocks or something, not really sure what he was doing. It was just weird. I just remember thinking that's so strange. And I think he finished. I think I saw him come in. I'm not sure if he made the cutoff or not. He might not have made the cutoff. But those minutes around some of those aid stations were the strangest part of the whole event, because it was just so humid. It was like a drunkenness type of talk amongst people that are just trying to survive in the heat. And it was just a place that I had to sit down and rest. But there were places that you just wanted to get away from, because it was misery. It was just really weird. And the last aid station was, which was 1.7 miles from the finish, was just positioned in a place where it was an out and back, so you passed it twice. And I did stop there on the way out and refueled, and then realized I wasn't going to need two bottles of fluid, so I asked Greg to dump one because I was having a hard time getting the damn tops of the bottles off. And on the way back, I told Greg, we're just passing, we're not even stopping, we're going. We had 1.7 to go to the finish. And anyway, finally we emerged from the forest, and it was just endless. This dirt, this gravel road that took us to the cart path that was going to take us back into the park. It was just endless, endless, endless. It had to have been at least 3/4 of a mile of a straight gravel road. And when you know you're getting close to the finish, you know, you just want it to end. And there was a guy with an orange fluorescent shirt up ahead of me. And earlier he had been very close to me, so I kind of stayed behind him. But then he started pulling out, you know, extending the gap. And I just remember thinking, when I don't see him anymore, that's when I know we have to turn. But he was just so far ahead, and I just remember thinking, God, this road is so long. And it was just, it was awful. But my feet were just in excruciating pain with every step, whether it was running or walking. But at that point, you know, in mid-40s, early 40s, the mileage, I had really come too far to stop, and I did not want to see what my feet looked like at that point. I had changed my shoes and socks 3 times, and they were intact each time I checked them. So somewhere along between 35.4 miles in the finish, that's when the bottoms of my feet broke apart and made a real mess in my shoes. But you know, there was time for all that later. My brain was demanding that I go forward. I was so close. Nothing was going to stop me at this point. I mean, I was just too close to the finish line to even consider that. Now, whether I stopped at 40 miles or 50 miles, the damage to my feet was really going to be the same. I was going to have to be off of them. And 10 miles really isn't that significant in an ultramarathon as it is in shorter distances. And I know that sounds kind of bad, but it's true, because in a 40 or a 50-mile race, 10 miles is just another, you know, couple hours that you just got to pound out there. And I knew there'd be time to take care of whatever was happening inside my shoes. Earlier I'd had pretty respectable splits for my ability level, but the pain I was having with my feet had erased a lot of that time cushion that I'd established to get inside the hard cutoffs. So I had to really figure out a way to transcend that pain I felt each time my foot hit the ground in order to get into the cutoff so I could get a medal. Now, when we finally emerged from the woods after this real long gravel road, Team Incognito was there, and I heard a familiar yell, and I just kind of at that point knew that it was just a total feeling of relief, practically in tears. I mean, I was soon going to be amongst friends. They had actually all surprised me and showed up at one of the last aid stations when I picked up Greg, and I'd seen a poster out on the trail trailer earlier, and I knew that somebody was there. I knew they were there. They were sneaky. They didn't even tell me they were coming. It was seven of them, plus John, who ran with me. He was one of my pacers. And anyway, I knew they were going to be there. I'd kind of been sending some text messages to my wife when I was out on the trail because I carried my little cell phone with me. And she was very – it was encouraging. It really helped me through to get some of those messages. And I was able to text back. I mean, I never really got delirious or anything. But just hearing that familiar yell was just a real immense feeling of relief. And I knew that very soon I was going to be amongst friends. You know, Greg, no offense. I mean, we definitely talked the whole time. You know, we finally had to break out. And you knew that. And, you got a pretty good workout yourself, I guess. I mean, covering all that distance. Some of those hills definitely made up for some of the walking that we were doing. So, anyway, earlier that seeing that TI poster on the trail, which was just kind of had our logo and our slogan, which is Game On, it was kind of a magical feeling that I had, and it was really uplifting, and it was nice to know that, again, I was going to be sharing in that camaraderie with more people once I got to the finish. Now, about 200 yards from the finish line, Greg and I were just overwhelmed with my running group, the people that were there that were running with me, and, you know, coming in with me, and that my 8-year-old daughter was there also. And you know what? It's funny because there was no pain at that point in time at all. I mean, it was just glory in the moment. And it's funny how your brain just looks at a different stimulant, and that was the emotion. Not the emotion took over the pain. It was just a remarkable feeling. It was really something. I knew that the end was near, and that's always real bittersweet, as it always is with real long endurance events. And the journey to the finish of my first 50-mile ultramarathon was almost over, and you know, unbelievably so, an ordinary nobody middle of the pack runner was gonna complete a 50-mile ultramarathon that was being put on by professional race organizers with a huge company called North Face, and they picked the 13-hour cutoff as the cutoff, and so I made it. That meant I should have been there. I made what they prescribed would be the cutoff time, and it was just a great feeling. It really was. I had earned my right to be at the starting line. I earned my finisher's medal. I had a lot of people that helped me along the way. You know, Greg and John, you guys, man, I tell you, I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have some companions out there on the trail. And, you know, with my team showing up too, surprisingly, that just enhanced the whole experience big time. And but, you know, it's always up to the individual to push forward or stop when you're out there alone. And there were some times I was out there alone before. Where I had a pacer with me because I'd gotten up, split up from Tom and Rodney. But it's always up to the individual to continue forward or not. And so what I do is, you know, since then I've talked with people, or when I told people I was training for it, when it comes up a conversation, people always ask, well, why would you do that? And my question is to see what's possible. And it's hard for them to really, well, people can't even fathom that to begin with. People can't even fathom the marathon distance, so, you know, the 50 doesn't make any sense to them either. But that's why I do it. I do it to see what is possible. And I think I might have found the limit of what I can do, but I'm not quite sure about that yet, because there's still things to explore, still things to discover with running. And once I heal up, I'll definitely be pursuing that again, just not sure what distance yet. Now, I've said before, maybe not in the podcast, but at least with some of my running friends, that I've always been kind of interested in finding the point where I break, whether that's either emotionally or physically, from an endurance running event. And I know it sounds kind of foolish, but I just needed to know that. But I think I might have found it on Saturday. I mean, I broke my feet open. I'm obviously screwed for a few weeks. I didn't do the distance to intentionally get hurt. I kind of did it to get liberated, in a way. And getting hurt happened along the way, but it's really minor compared to the big picture. Okay, got some special thanks to throw out here. Snuggy Bear, John, John King, Kelly, Shannon, Matt, Dana, Crash, and Ryan all made the trip up there, which really made it. I don't really know how to describe how the 50-mile experience was enhanced by having more supporters up there than you thought would be there. It was just kind of an intrinsic feeling that you can't really put into words, but it really made me feel good, and each one of those people brought a little different thing. I didn't get to interact individually with each person, but, you know, at the end, we were talking to everybody, and and it was just great to see everybody at the aid station. That's my running group. I mean, that's the these are the folks that I trained for my first marathon for with, and we formed a running group that's don't run together. We're our running group, but we don't even run together. We're kind of funny how we've all kind of gone our separate ways since first couple marathons, but we're kind of a virtual group, I guess you could say. You know, we have a message board and. You know, we communicate that way and do get together from time to time. We have social functions, which you probably heard me talk about before. And it's just a real mutual respect type of group. And I've never really experienced that before. And we all have in common running. And everybody, you know, different genders. Some people married, some people aren't. Some people have kids, some people don't. Everybody seems to get along. There's no egos in the group. And it's a real nice group of folks. And it's even better to have John out there on the trail with me. When I saw the Team Incognito encouragement poster on the trail, that was just a real uplifting thing. I think I already mentioned that. And also having Greg out there was really good because it gave us a chance to talk, and I guess we spent the better part of 3 hours together, huh, Greg? Then we did between 4 to 5 miles an hour for the last couple hours of the race. But many thanks to John, Ryan, and Greg for offering to crew and pace right from the beginning, and that was really nice that you guys offered to do that. I'm going to talk about my feet here in a second, but I got a couple other things I want to hit on here. I almost came in last place. I was fifth from the last, and I kind of knew that going in that I would be one of the slower ones, but the funny thing about it is, you know, there are 38 people that didn't finish, and so I didn't come in fifth from last. I came in fifth from last for the people that finished, but, you know, 38 people didn't finish, so I guess that stands for something. But that's okay with me. I mean, I've never raced against anything or anybody but the course and the clock, the difficulty of the course, and, of course, my own personal problems. And like I said earlier, I felt liberated doing the 50 miles. It was... just a matter of surviving and finishing the race and, you know, reflecting on it and just experiencing, you know, extreme endurance event. Now, I might have been slow, but, you know, I was out there twice as long as some of those front runners. You know, I was out and they were in air conditioning by the time I finished and probably showered or even home. You know, so who's got the true endurance? You know, that's... I just can't run fast. It's, you know, when I talk about my ability level, I can't change my ability level, you know, but I still like to be able to go out and do those events. But anyway, if you still listen to the show after I've been rambling here for a while, a couple other observations I made from the race. The race bibs in this race were wider than any of the other ones that I've ever seen. Tom has a bib belt for racing, and these, you know, has snaps on it or little clips or something, you know, for the that are the width of most race bibs, and the North Face, I guess, Gore-Tex bibs were wider. It was kind of strange, and they're a thicker type of paper, maybe even plastic coated, very inflexible, tended to kind of stick out straight. And see, I needed to change clothes, so I kept the race bib on my fuel belt, and which was just a fuel belt pouch, and it worked out okay, but it kind of made some noise when I ran. There was a lady out there, I don't know what her name was, she ran the whole 50 miles on a cheetah leg. That was pretty remarkable. First time I've ever seen that in person. You know, it's Oscar Pistorius. He's a runner, a Paralympic runner, but he wants to be in the regular Olympics. He runs on cheetah legs, and he's actually faster, almost faster than regular runners. Anyway, it's kind of neat to see that on the trail. And I remember one time we were running through one of the creeks in the mud, and on the other side, when we got to a little wooden bridge, she was tapping the mud off of it. So I guess you can tell the difference. Also met Dean Karnazes at the finish. It was nice of him to wait for him. We even let him get in a picture with their running group, and I had my wife take the book that one of the I bought his book a couple of years ago, I guess whenever it came out, and read it, and so I brought it up there, had my wife bring it up there, and he signed it, and it was real nice. I know there's a little bit of a controversy around him with some of the stuff and the way he promotes his running and whatnot. But you know, he was a nice guy. I didn't have any problem with him being there. I don't buy North Face stuff. So you know, him being there and talking, he wasn't promoting anything, but just being out there. It was nice to be out there. Plus, he did a kids' run that my daughter did, and she got a free medal, which was the same size as mine. And you know, so be it. He's real nice. We took a photo with him. He's a lot smaller than I thought he'd be. I thought he was a little taller. He's a real small man. And but you know, the only thing that it feels like he runs with some true inspiration. Unlike Lance Armstrong, when I read his book, he seems to just be inspired by his own image in the mirror. You know, he doesn't have. They're just two different types of athletes, but I'm not going to get in the whole thing with Dean Karnazes. But anyways, nice to meet him, talk to him briefly. He was real nice, polite, and then that was that. Tom wore the North Face socks that they gave out with the race swag, and he wore them all day, didn't have any foot problems, unlike me. I mean, my feet were just, you know, train wrecks. And so I'm going to, once I get back to running, I am going to try out the North Face socks that were free. They're just kind of goofy colored. I don't really like the goofy colored socks because I usually wear kind of predominantly white running shoes with some stripes, and if you get goofy colored socks in there, I just don't like that fashion look. But here's one of the funniest parts. You know, my feet were hurting, and I got to the end, and I took my shoes off, and the bottom of my left sock was just soaked with blood. And one of the people in my group said, "Oh, you got to take your sock off. We got to see what that looks like." And but you know, they had a beer guard, and I wanted to go over and get a beer. You know, for finishing 50 miles, I felt like I deserved at least a beer. But anyway, I took my sock off, and what was that under that, which was a disaster. You know, led me straight to the medical tent, and I forgot all about that beer. But anyway, Matt was the one that said, "Dave, you probably ought to go over and get to the medical tent." Because I wasn't really comprehending what I was looking at. Essentially what it was the bottoms of my feet, the pads, not the arch or the heel. The heels were pretty damaged too, but not as much as the pad. They had kind of slipped off. I guess you could say this numerous layers of skin and a huge piece of skin, not, you know, small pieces, but the huge skin had basically relocated at the base of my toes. I had to go to the ER. It was a non-emergency trip to the ER, and went there and got some treatment, and ended up seeing a podiatrist yesterday, and got some better treatment, and now I think within 7 to 10 days I'll be back to running. I mean, it's just blisters. It's severe blistering, which, and a little bit of the sloughing of the skin, which I know is getting kind of gross. But if you want to send me an email at ashlanddave@gmail.com, I'll be happy to send you a picture of my foot. There was a guy in the medical tent. I mean, this medical tent had, I mean, there was all kinds of guys on IVs. You know, it was just an awful day. I didn't have to get an IV. I mean, but I had foot problems. And there was a guy in there that was saying that he'd done, you know, numerous 100-mile races, and he'd never seen anything that bad. And, of course, the medical guy is telling me that he's never seen anything that bad, and I'm starting to worry that maybe, you know, I'm, you know, got some kind of serious injury. So we drive the 2 hours back to Ashland and put the dog up in the house because we took Blue up there, and find a place for our daughter to spend the night and go to the ER. And the doctor just minimizes, "Oh, you just got bad blisters." And she thought I'd be back to work in a couple days. And I was trying to explain to her that the nature of my job is not a crutches job. It's not a wheelchair job. I got to be, you know, in and out of a car, back and forth on my feet. I might have to run. I mean, there's different things I got to do. possibly. And so I knew I'd have to go see another doctor to get a better prognosis, and that's what I did. And anyway, I've got my feet wrapped in a couple layers of compression, and toes are just a disaster. I'm probably going to lose six toenails. I've lost big toenails before, but never toenails. I've lost the little toe on my left foot before, the little toenail, but never like the second or third largest toes. Never lost those toenails. So yeah, the feet are a disaster, and I'm out for a bit here. But it's going to take more than that to get me away from doing these long events. I learned from it. I'll have to do some taping of my feet to learn a little bit how that works, and talk to some people that have done it and see what the tricks are and the tips, because I definitely need to build up another layer. So anyway, overall, I had some minor right knee issues going into the race, but no other real pain came up during the event other than my feet. My shoulders were really sore afterwards. I think it was because I was carrying the water bottles with water in them most of the day. But you know, overall, I'm not really that sore. My quads were from the downhills, but because I tried to run most of those if I could, but you know, the foot pain just kind of, you know, overrided everything, and that's maybe I didn't really notice it. And I saw Tom earlier today, and he doesn't seem to be having any trouble. He's probably already gone for a run. I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, my splits from the race that I mentioned earlier. Now, these are slow, so, you know, the whole point was to stretch the whole thing out. 14.8 miles, 3:20.03. 21.7 miles, 5:03.47. 28.6 miles, 6:47.48. 35.4 miles in 8:39 even, and then of course 50 miles at 12:48.02. And if you want to go look at all the results, you can. That's at the North Face Endurance Challenge website, and you just got to scroll down, look for the Washington D.C. Event, and then click on race highlights, and they'll have the results there. Anyway, it was a heck of a heck of an event. What can I say? I'm so glad I did it. Now, I've got some stuff I want to talk about here. I got some lots and lots of encouraging emails that I'll just kind of go over here once I get back in the house. So I'm kind of sitting out on the back porch here. But I've got an interesting story to share, and it's kind of a short story, but it's about one of my listeners. And her name's Kathleen. She lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. And this is just an example of how it's a small world out there. A friend of mine named Anthony that lives close to us. My cell phone keeps ringing here. We call him Buddha, actually, but his name's Anthony. He lives about two blocks away, and his son and my daughter are good friends. And anyway, he was at a convention. I'm not sure where it was, but he was next to somebody who was from the Spotsylvania area. And Spotsylvania area is a county that's just north of, I guess two counties to the north of Ashland, but they actually, Hanover County, which is where Ashland is, actually borders Spotsylvania up in the northwest part of the county. And anyway, I guess Buddha or Anthony was talking to this guy who's from Spotsylvania. He said, "Oh, I'm from Ashland." Kathleen overheard Anthony talking about Ashland and said, "Oh, well, do you know Ashland Dave? Or I listened to a podcast from Ashland." And Buddha said, "Oh, yeah, well, I know Ashland Dave." Again, because he and I are actually good friends. And so I guess a discussion started about how Kathleen listens to the podcast and her running group listens to the podcast. And so that story was passed on to me by Buddha's wife, whose name is Jennifer. And then she told my wife, who told me, and I was just really... it was really weird because, I get about 300 downloads a week of each show, you know, for the week that it goes out. And then over time, more people download the show. And, but I haven't heard heard from anybody up in the Cincinnati area. So, Kathleen, send me an email, ashlanddave@gmail.com, and let me know what your running group is up to. Sounds like if y'all listen to the show, I'd like to definitely make that connection and send out some good wishes your way and find out what races y'all are doing and what kind of things you're involved in. And, you know, it's really flattering to hear that there are, you know, other people out there that listen to the show and like it. And that's why I do it, because I enjoy hearing about stuff like that. It's that nice feedback that makes you feel like you're doing something kind of important. So Kathleen, here's a shout out to you and your running group in the Cincinnati, Ohio area. And send me an email, ashlanddave@gmail.com, and we'll make that, fill in that circle and make that connection and have a good laugh about it. It sounds like it's a small world. That's a pretty remarkable thing. And anyway, it'd be nice to hear from you. So hopefully, when you get a chance, send me an email. I think I've hit upon all the stuff from the 50-miler that I can think of. I'm sure I've left some stuff out. I made notes on several different pieces of paper and wrote up a race report for my running group. We like to share those. And there was one part. This guy ended up not finishing the race, but there was a creek crossing that had a large log across the creek, and if you didn't use the log, you had to go in the water, and you were going to get wet. And this guy, everybody was kind of backed up behind him, and he was just kind of standing there, a little timid, on crossing the log. And you know, people were getting impatient, and finally, people just started running through the water, and it was a little deeper. And that's what I did. It was a little deeper than I thought it would be. And I don't think that attributed to my blistering, because I did change my shoes and socks three times. I think it was just the heat. But it doesn't really explain why Tom didn't get them. I guess, you know, everybody's feet are just, some people's feet are tougher than others. But anyway, I'm going to head back in, and we'll open up the email bag, and we'll see you checked in on the show this week. So let's head back inside.
Okay, back inside, and I'm going to go through some of the emails that I've got over the last week and a half to 2 weeks, because I think I skipped over these in one of the previous shows, and I had a whole lot of supportive emails from folk listeners to the show before I did the 50-mile ultra, and I definitely want to recognize those people and thank them. But I guess the first thing is my friend Tom, he used a piece of equipment from Ultimate Direction during the 50-miler that Phil over at Ultimate Direction had sent me. He sent me several products, and all he had asked in return was just to give him some feedback on the equipment. And which we did, and but the reason I want to bring up the thing that Tom used is because he really liked it. It's the PR10 belt by Ultimate Direction. It's got a water pouch holder for smaller than a 20-ounce, and it's got a pouch on the back that he said was very easy to open and close, and then it's also got a bib holder. And he thought that was probably one of the better parts of that piece of equipment, because he's got one of those that he wears, but since we were doing such a long race, you kind of needed some other supplies in your waist pouch. So that was a pretty good piece of equipment if you're looking for any kind of waist pouch to hold, you know, some small personal items or you know, a small water bottle, and you want something that has a bib holder on it, the two little snaps. That's the Ultimate Direction PR10, and Tom really recommended it, and Phil, thanks for passing that on. Also, got some real supportive emails from Ultra Dad over at the Ultra Dad podcast, Mike over at Dirt Dogs Rambling Diatribe podcast. You guys were really supportive, encouraging. I really appreciate that. David Williams out of Mechanicsville checked in, real supportive in an email. Rick, and Rick ran the Bull Run 50-miler last year, and he's after he had done. I don't think he did North Face. That was Richard. I'll get to him in a second. But Rick recommends that. And Rick, you know, I might check that out for next April if I heal up, now that I know where I've made some mistakes. And I think that one's up in Northern Virginia also. Also heard from Bruce over. He's got his own podcast now called Confessions of a Race Addict. And you can check that out at bom1965.podbean.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes at ashlanddave.podbean.com. He is trying out doing a podcast. He's got three episodes out, and he's kind of finding his way, which is what you do when you get started. And he also sent along his congratulations for me getting 100 episodes. So, Bruce, I really appreciate that. And he hails out of Ohio,
in I think it's Missouri, M-A-S-U-R-Y. I think that's where he's from. So check out his podcast if you're looking for something a little bit different. BOM1965.podbean.com. Or you just search for Confessions of a Race Addict podcast, I guess, in your favorite search engine. So appreciate the email, Bruce. Thanks for checking in. Shelly checked in. Shelly, we used to be on the same half marathon training team together. She said she was sending some real good prayers our way on Saturday. So, Shelly, thank you very much. I think that will probably help me get through. Jamie checked in from Florida, and on her blog, Runner for Good. And it's very possible I might actually see her at the Hatfield-McCoy Marathon, which I'm going to be going up to serve as a driver. Even though I got her feet, I can still drive a car with my right foot now that it's healed sufficiently enough where I can use the gas pedal and the brake. I'm going to be going up with Snug Guy on our team. We call Snuggy Bear and Crider. And then Matt's going to go as well. And Jamie's coming up from Florida to run that marathon. And since I think it's about a 500-person race, I'll probably be able to find you, Jamie. So it'd be nice to meet you. So I hope I see you. And Brian checked in from Ashland, Center of the Universe. He didn't make it up to the North Face race to the finish he had hoped because he had some traffic problems on the interstate. But Brian, appreciate the email. And it was nice to hear from you. Susan checked in from Ashland. Appreciate that, Susan. And, let me key the Hawaii 5-0 music for Rich out of the Woodlands, Texas, because he sent me an audio clip from 100th episode. Thanks, Rich, and here's Rich.
Hey, Dave, this is Rich from the Woodlands, Texas. Instead of my usual email, I wanted to send you an audio clip to offer my congratulations on hitting 100 episodes. What an amazing accomplishment, especially given the demands I'm sure you have on your time from family and work, let alone all the running you're doing. I can't even imagine the time it takes to put these out, and I applaud all the podcasters for their dedication because I enjoy listening to them. And what amazing timing to have the North Face Endurance Challenge coincide with your 100th episode. I don't think you could have ever planned for that. You know, whenever you read any of my emails, you always refer to me as your original listener, and it's an honor to be considered that. I can remember how I came across your blog. It was mentioned on the Confessions of a Runner podcast, which I started listening to when Steve Runner scaled back his production. Jody mentioned some videos you'd done, and I had followed the link out to take a look at them, and I was really amazed. I thought they really provided a unique perspective on your running, and they were really clever the way you used a flip camera to make those. I think that was pretty new at the time. That prompted me to read your blog and send you a note, and I think we even had a few other exchanges in that time frame. And shortly after that is when you started the podcast. The rest of They Say is history, and we're now celebrating 100 episodes. Again, congratulations. Although I've not ventured into ultras or even the multiple marathons in a year like you have, I kind of stick to one a year. From listening and the email exchanges we've had, I think in many ways our running is very similar in terms of pace and the experiences you have described. That's what has made the podcast enjoyable to me. Running in the Center of the Universe has become my favorite podcast, not just because of the subject, but also because I look forward to hearing about what is going on with a friend, with your training, your races, and your training buddies like Team Incognito. And I always look forward to listening when a new episode comes out. We've exchanged a lot of email over the course of the podcast, and even though we've not met in person, I know that I have a friend in Ashland, and I can tell you I have a friend down here in Texas. And hopefully someday we will get a chance to meet. Take care, Dave, and keep on running.
Well, thanks a lot, Rich. Really appreciate that audio clip, and it was nice to hear from you. And, of course, you're very complimentary, which makes me feel really good. And I'm glad that you listen to the podcast and that you enjoy it. And just may end up in Texas one of these days for one of those races down there. And maybe I'll cross paths with you. Hope so. So thanks for sending that in, and thanks for listening to the show. As always, it's nice to hear from you. I also heard from Joseph out of Syracuse. He checked in, and he's preparing for the Finger Lakes 50. So, Joseph, best of luck to you on that. Hope to hear a good race report. Adam over at TheBoringRunner.com, he commented on my double long runs episode. And this is how Adam refers to the when he does double long runs. He calls it a double cheeseburger when he does less than 5 miles on the second day of the double long run weekend, and then he calls it the double Big Mac when he does 10 plus miles on the second day. And I think that's pretty funny. And Adam, if you don't mind, I think I'm gonna shamelessly steal that terminology if you don't mind, and start using that up here, and of course I'll credit you, but that is pretty funny. But go over to boringrunner.com theborndrunner.com and check out Adam's blog. It's pretty funny. He's got a pretty interesting perspective on things and runs a lot of marathons too. So, Adam, thanks for checking in. Good to hear from you. I heard from Richard up in Northern Virginia. This is the same Richard that has provided invaluable advice on the North Face Endurance Challenge race that he did it last year. And he's actually training for a 100-miler that's going to be in late July, the Burning River 100, which is up in Ohio. So, Richard, I hope you do. I think that was the one that you're training for. I know it's one coming up. Best of luck to you on that. Hopefully the weather doesn't get the best of you. It sounds like you've been doing, I think you said you exceeded 100 miles for a week in one of your recent training weeks. And your advice was really invaluable for completing that race last weekend. So I'd like to thank you for that. And I wish you all the best in your transfer. Heard from David in Abilene, Texas. He checked in. He's a fellow maniac, number 1822. And my maniac number is 1319 in case you want to check that. David ran his second 50-miler at Rocky Raccoon this past February, and he's been on a hell of a streak. 7 marathons in 7 months, which peaked in March of this year. And he also recently celebrated his 30th wedding anniversary. So, David, all the best to you on all that. Thanks for checking in, and thanks for the encouragement along the way. I also heard from Sergeant Eldridge out of Wisconsin. He ran his first half marathon at Eagle River in an incredible 2 hours, 21 minutes, and said he just absolutely had a blast. And he said it was windy and snowing in May up in Wisconsin. And it's funny that you say that because I remember when my sister graduated from James Madison University in May of 1989, we went up to her graduation. It was in a stadium, and it was snowing in Harrisonburg, Virginia in May. It was pretty incredible. So anyway, thanks for checking in, Sergeant. Appreciate it. Heard from Christina. She checked in, wishing me good luck for the 50-miler, and she's over at lazybonesrunning.blogspot.com. And also heard from Chris over at bqordie.blogspot.com. So, Chris, thanks for checking in. And all of y'all, that's a lot of emails. I really do appreciate hearing from the listeners. You can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And so, Kathleen, I'm looking for that email from you. To give you, and matter of fact, it's too late now because I'm actually producing the show over the course of 2 days. But I did get some more information from Buddha about, I guess you live in the Hobsons area. So anyway, it'd be nice to hear from you, and hope you're doing well with all your training and your runs. All right, well, that's well over an hour for this week, and I will have another report from what I'm getting ready to do this weekend, which is kind of a double marathon spectating weekend. I'm going to I'm gonna kind of be crewing for Crash Kreider and Snuggy Bear at a Running Under the Stars event, which is in Paducah, Kentucky. I'll be laid up in a lawn chair, but I can still make the trip. I just got to bring all my bandages and stuff and keep my feet freshly wrapped. But it doesn't mean I can't go. I got permission from my wife to. I think she wants me out of the house for a few days. I've been sitting around for a week. Can't really do that much if I can't go to work and can't really do anything outside because my feet are all tore up. It's kind of funny. I earlier today, and I know I'm not really making too much sense right now. Anyway, I borrowed a wheelchair from a friend who got it from her dad, who doesn't use it anymore. And I went to Walmart today with the wheelchair. And I went around Walmart in the wheelchair. Never done that before. And but, I had my feet were wrapped up in bandages, so I guess it looked like I needed it. I was able to get out of the car and just kind of walk real gently to the back of the car and get the wheelchair out and set it down. Then when I got in the wheelchair, I just wheeled myself inside. And they didn't have these cotton bandages I needed. I was kind of pissed off, but anyway, I've lost my train. Okay, so we're going to Hatfield-McCoy Marathon in, I think it's called Goody, Kentucky. And that's a marathon that goes actually from Kentucky to West Virginia and back, I believe, and or vice versa or whatever. If you're a 50-stater, from what I understand, you can use that marathon for either state, just not for both. If you did it 2 years in a row or if you did that marathon twice, you could use it for Kentucky 1 year and West Virginia for the next year. And then after that race, we're going to be driving to Paducah, Kentucky for an event that starts at 8 o'clock that evening. It's called Running Under the Stars, and it's a 10-hour endurance event. And Kreider and Snuggs are going to do that. So they're going to be essentially doing two marathons at least in 24 hours. And I think the goal is to try to get, I'm not sure how many miles we're going to be trying to get in that 10 hours, because we're essentially going to be camping on the course. So, and even if there's weather, it's there's cover, pavilions and whatnot that we can set up tents, and I've got a cot. And I'm going to be pretty comfortable, even though I can't walk around. Matt's going to be with me. He's going to help. And I'm just going for support, because I was going to be driving them home on Sunday, because they'll be up all night. And now Matt and I will share that responsibility. And I'm hoping we have a real good time. Hoping we have good weather and it's not too hot. So that's I'll have a full report on that. I'm hoping that something funny happens, so I can put that in the podcast for next time. So anyway, that's it for this week. I'd like to thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for listening. I had a lot of information in this show this week, and I hope you enjoyed it. And as always, you can reach me at ashlanddave@gmail.com. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.